Today is Thursday, February 15th, calling the meeting to order at 1:35 in the afternoon. Senator Gary Stevens will join us momentarily. I believe Senator Hoffman and Senator Bundy are away on state business, but we wanted to continue today with our briefings on workforce development. It's just sort of an introductory kind of course. We'll be digging into these issues in more detail at a later time. But today the focus is the healthcare industry, and we have several presenters. We're going to begin with my constituent and friend, Alyssa Culpepper. We did some good work together years ago with the DD community and other health issues, and it's good to have you back before our committee. Alyssa, why don't you take it away, and we'll run through our presenters. I know some folks have to go up and be part of the governor's presentation at 2 o'clock, so we're on a bit of an expedited schedule today. Alyssa, welcome. Please identify yourself for the record and your affiliation, and please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Alyssa Culpepper. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and our lead on our workforce development focus area. I'm here today because the Mental Health Trust Authority has been working on for several years with partners on workforce development for its beneficiary-related services. In 2007, our trustees selected workforce as one of our new focus areas, and we're planning to implement those initiatives in 2008. The trust and its partners have identified many workforce development strategies, including several strategies other healthcare workforce efforts are targeting. The trust is committed to working with all these other healthcare workforce development efforts to jointly identify major strategies that we have in common to work across the healthcare workforce efforts, and to work with the legislature and other policy entities to make those happen. Today we are here to speak a little bit about all of our efforts and just the fact that there are many strategies we have in common, and that healthcare workforce is a priority and needs to be a priority for the state and the legislature this year. Our partners today that we have with us are the University of Alaska, represented on the phone today by Karen Perdue, and I'll let her do her title. The Department of Health and Social Services, represented by Deputy Commissioner Bill Hogan. The commissioner was due to be here, but she's upstairs right now for the press conference. The Alaska Native Tribal Council Consortium, who's working with us and couldn't be here today, and then the Alaska Nursing Home and Hospital Administration, represented by the Executive Director, Rod Beattie, who will be speaking. Working together, we want to combine and address the common strategies and to help the legislature and ask the legislature for help to address the multi-system strategies that we need to meet the growing healthcare needs of Alaska. I just want to say before we all get started that healthcare workforce is one of the growing the fastest growing job sectors in Alaska for the next 10 years. It has been, is out in the report this fall for Alaska economic trends. It is projected for a 35% growth rate in jobs in the next 10 years. And that's across all what they call healthcare and social assistance, which are all mostly our beneficiary areas and the different areas that are working. It is an economic issue and a jobs issue, as well as an issue on health. For access to health care across urban and rural Alaska, and jobs in urban and rural Alaska, and we'll be talking about that as time goes on as we work on it. There are many of the different plans to address the shortages and anticipate future needs of Alaskans, and you're going to hear the highlights today, and most of you have received copies of our reports and our data and what we're doing and the other efforts. But today we want to talk about just some of the common things that and begin to form hopefully a partnership in trying to come up with strategies, a couple of which that we have in common would be forging a partnership with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development to make healthcare workforce a priority in this administration, and not just this time doctors and nurses, but across the whole spectrum of healthcare workforces that we'll be talking about. And another tool that is an example of something we'd have in common is the student loan repayment program. Many states across the nation have student loan repayment. I'm not just talking about our state student loans, but being able to recruit people from other states that have been trained in other states to come to Alaska as professionals and work and get student loan repayment incentives for staying different amounts of time and working in certain regional areas of greatest need. And this is a strategy that many of our different plans have in common. We're competing with other states such as Washington and almost every other state that have these in place already that are partially state funded, partially federally funded in the health area. It's very hard to compete to get a professional to come to Alaska when others can offer them student loan repayment with the economic burden of student loans for professionals, and especially advanced professionals these days. It's become very difficult. So we'll be talking about some of these in our presentations. And so I appreciate you having us here today, and we look forward to working with you on this issue over the next couple of years.
Great. Ms. Culpepper, thank you very much. I should have mentioned at the outset that Senator Bette Davis, who's with us as a member of the Labor and Commerce Committee, chairs the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, and there's overlap between our two committees on this subject. We're concentrating on workforce development, and she handles the health issues on the Senate side, so just wanted to note that for the record. Melissa, thank you very much. Karen Perdue is our good friend, old friend Karen Perdue is with us. Karen, are you there online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, did you want me to go ahead?
Yes, you're next in line. It's good to have you back with us. Please identify yourself and go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Karen Perdue. I'm the Associate Vice President at the University of Alaska. And I focus on a daily basis on this issue that the committee is examining today, which is workforce development for the healthcare industry. And I know, Mr. Chairman, you said that I was an old friend, and I hope you meant that in the best sense of the word.
Long-time friend might have been the better choice of words.
It seems like you were quite young when we started this work, yes. You should have in front of you a booklet that we've just produced that gives some of the highlights of our workforce efforts. And do you have that?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Wonderful. Okay, well, I'm just going to walk down a few of the things the university has been doing and highlight some of the partnerships that DeLisa mentioned. So I'm going to just start with the overview. Really, in the last 5 years, the university has prioritized this issue of health workforce development for all the reasons that DeLisa mentioned, which are these are great jobs, there's a shortage in virtually every profession, we're spending a lot of money importing workers that could be Alaskans, and so the university actually has numerous activities that we've been undertaking in the last 5 years. Our enrollments in the healthcare programs have grown 66% in the last 5 years, and our graduates are up 55%. So for us, that's a phenomenal growth in these areas. And it's been over many of the areas, nursing, allied health, public health, et cetera. Right now, we have about 4,400 students working their way through our university system across the state in some kind of health-related profession, whether from certificate to doctorate. And one of the things that I would say that has dramatically helped us in doing this is the explosion of distance learning. Distance learning, I think, in the old days, you didn't think that you could educate a nurse or a medical laboratorian by distance, but I'm here to tell you that the world has changed, and that in nursing, radiology, medical laboratory, social work, psychology, human services, and public health, those just to name some, we now have full, robust programs in each of those areas. And so we're reaching out to rural Alaska. We're reaching out to that working person in Anchorage who doesn't have time except in the evening to attend classes. So that has really changed the landscape of this work. And many people think that distance learning might be inferior learning, but actually in some of these professions that we have where the students must pass a licensing exam, such as nursing and social work, we can measure the performance of distance students and on-campus students, and there is virtually no difference in the students' performance. In fact, in some cases, the distance students perform better. Behavioral health is another area where we've had huge partnerships with the trust, and on page 16 of this document, 16 and 17, you'll see some of those things that we've been taking on. We're so thankful to the trust and to Bill Hogan from the state for working with us. We got together about 4 or 5 years ago and decided that this is definitely an area where we can make a tremendous amount of progress, not only in growing our own but then also maybe in addressing some of the serious statistics that we have. So we have invested some money together, and we are doing expansions in social work, psychology. We're doing quite a bit of work in professional development, and we've got a program that's targeted to bring the kids home and meeting the workforce needs of those folks. We've graduated about 300 persons a year in the behavioral health area. The trust has called on the university to ramp that up, and we're in dialogue about how to do that. Nursing, I'll just touch briefly on that. We certainly have had great partnerships with the hospitals. Rod is there, and he has been a wonderful ally. We have doubled our graduates. This was a request from industry. We now have 11 nursing programs. We went from one nursing program to 11, seems like overnight, and we are producing around 220 nurses a year. The industry has donated to the university around $4 million to do that work, and that is so appreciated. The physician issue, I know you've probably heard, and certainly, Senator Ellis, you know that there's a great need to do something in the physician area. The first foray of that is the doubling of the WAMI program, and the university does really support that effort. So let me just conclude by saying that we have requests in our budget to do many of these things, to strengthen dental, social work, behavioral health, physicians. All of these things are needed, but they all must be done in a comprehensive way because the university is a big animal and we can often work at cross purposes. So these partnerships that we've been forming with the trust and the hospital association have allowed us to organize ourselves to be efficient. These programs are expensive, so we have to do them carefully so we don't duplicate. But also, we have to meet state need, and so that is what we've been trying to do. And I think I'll conclude there and certainly open for questions.
Karen, thank you for your presentation. These buttons, I don't know if you've heard about the buttons we made in my office that say double whammy. If I thought I could have gotten away with triple whammy, I think we would have made buttons that said that. But they seem to be popular. We're shipping them to various campuses around the state. So
you're going to have to reserve one for me.
We'll get you a special edition,
right,
even if I have to make it myself. Thank you very much for your presentation. You know, Karen, nursing programs have been a particular interest and concern of mine over the years, especially when we were doing welfare reform and wanted to see folks get 2- and 4-year degrees and get permanently off of public assistance. And nursing programs were a good way to accomplish that goal and to meet our nursing shortage. Are you seeing Alaska produce nurses and then have them stolen away, so to speak, by other jurisdictions or places that offer better salaries or working conditions, or are we keeping most of those folks right here in the state?
Well, we meet on a every 6-month basis with all the directors of nursing for all the hospitals in the state, and we discuss this every 6 months. And the short answer is really no. Not. There are two reasons for that. One is the program is not an Anchorage-only program. In fact, today more students are off the Anchorage campus than are on. And they're in communities like Kodiak and Bethel and Sitka and so on. And so those local hospitals and physicians recruit these students very heavily from the time they enter their coursework. So we don't really see a lot of that. In Anchorage, students are getting offers. They're getting high bonuses from out of state. But the numbers are showing that over 90, probably even 95% of our students are staying in Alaska.
Okay. That's good news. Other questions or comments? If not, Karen, thank you very much, and I hope you can stay with us, and we will get you a button.
All right.
Okay. Rod, why don't you come on up? Rod Beatty is our next presenter. Thanks for being here, and thanks for your support of our WAMI legislation. Please go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Davis, Rod Beatty, President of the Alaska State Hospital Nursing Home Association. I don't have my button on today. It's on the other coat at the office, but thank you for giving that.
We'll get you a backup.
It was really great to talk to the committee yesterday about the WAMI expansion and see the support that's there for that, and, of course, the companion bill to yours. Passed out of the House yesterday. So we see a lot of activity and passion for that piece of dealing with healthcare workforce and are very appreciative of it. And I want to say thanks for the opportunity today to talk about some of the other aspects of healthcare workforce that I see that we need to address and tactically figure out how to do that. I don't know that we have the answers, but at least we know what some of the issues are. I'm currently a member of the Alaska Workforce Investment Board. See whether I get reappointed or not. But I've been a bit critical of it over the last couple of years after I had an opportunity to serve on it because I think it has not placed significant importance on healthcare occupations and careers. And I had hoped that that would change during the last couple of years, but did not see much movement there. And these are very good jobs. These are lifelong challenging jobs that you can move around the state very handily with. They're obviously a low impact on the environment, and these are things that pay very well, and we have a crying need for many different kinds of career specialties throughout the state. Have holes in our fabric and healthcare system everywhere. So I think it's one that we really do need to pay some attention to, that it would pay off in terms of being able to direct our students into those careers, get them prepared so that they can enter into those kinds of jobs. One of the things that has happened here in Alaska is the creation of the Alaska Health Education, or the AHEC Center, as part of the University of Alaska, attached to the School of Nursing. It's the only state that has it attached to the School of Nursing as opposed to the School of Medicine. And that specifically is geared towards waking high school students up to health careers, making sure they're taking the right classes so that they get in the queue and have the right skill set to be able to enter those occupations, and then to work with the medical community to create opportunities and experiences that would turn those kids on to those kinds of jobs. So that was a great step. But if they don't have a place to go to get the education they need and we don't find a way to make that available to them, we'll lose them to other places. And I, for one, think that we need to get some priority in our funding here, in particularly the Department of Labor. I'd like to see us carve out some money and just say we're going to spend some of this on health careers, because it tends to be a very competitive process, and we end up losing out to all the other things that the state's trying to accomplish in terms of pipeline and construction and fisheries and just a whole host of things that are going on. I just don't think I see the kind of investment in the health piece of it that we need to have. So I would hope that as we talk through this and we work with the new administration, that we'll see more priority placed on that, and that the university can't do it by themselves. We're spending considerable money and effort trying to fill some of these holes through our own membership. You know, I represent 37 healthcare facilities around the state, and there's only so much they can do. Our rural members are really struggling in terms of trying to fill some critical positions. We want to, for example, see certification occur on rad tech so that people are safely exposed to having x-rays taken or ultrasounds performed and other kinds of procedures. But it's a two-edged sword, because the more certification and the requirements you place on that, the fewer candidates you have and the more likelihood you're going to have people traveling even more in the state to get services because they can't get them locally in those smaller locations. And but we, on the other side, want to see that area improved and the skill level increased. And when you go in and have that procedure performed, you can see the certification is there and you can have confidence that they're not going to overexpose you. But all of those things are before us right now. I hope that we find some strategies to address them, and I, for one, would like to continue to press for that and encourage you to take a look at some of those healthcare needs, because they're critical, and I think that it's a win-win for the state and win-win for individuals who are looking for some really challenging and, again, lifelong rewarding employment.
Rod, you've suggested something that we can ask Mr. Click Bishop when he's before our committee. We plan to meet jointly with the House Labor and Commerce Committee and can pose to him a question about dedication of resources for training within the Department of Labor or workforce development toward the health field. So, and we'll see what his response is.
That would be good to hear his response, Mr. Chairman. I asked that question a year ago in terms of what granting has been awarded to any health care providers to support moving, you know, this career development forward. I never got a reply, even though I sit on the AWIB. Mm-hmm. And I think the answer would have been minimal, if any, was actually going into that area. And so it would be interesting to see what answer you get.
Okay. there's no guarantee of the right answer, but you should always get an answer to your inquiries, and we'll try and make that happen. Any other questions or comments? I have a question for you about residency programs. Can't we get some of the residency programs expanded in the state? I know there's the family practice residency. Providence has been very generous. But isn't there a need for more residency spots in the state?
Mr. Chairman, you're right on, and that's a great payoff in terms of keeping physicians here once they complete residency. And I think we have the capability in some of our other hospitals to do that. Mm-hmm. And we have the 12, as you pointed out, at Providence now, but there's room for considerably more, provided you have the physician mentorship mm-hmm. there to be able to do it. The accreditation is going to have to be tackled so that when they come through residency, people will see that as being a credible program. Right. And we do have that on our list of questions for my CEOs. In fact, I have a meeting with them later today to see if we can identify who else would be interested in approaching some kind of a residency program. I think Alaska Regional would be one, Fairbanks Memorial would be another, and clearly we can do some work there.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that. Your association can play a positive role in that, because we talk about this. Providence steps up and commits resources. They have resources. They commit them. And are community-minded in that way. But it's always struck me that maybe some other institutions ought to pony up some resources as well.
Well,
because it's of mutual benefit. It's not, we're not asking for charity.
That's true.
So
and it helps them in the long run, too. Yeah. So the whole graduate medical education piece has been altered by the federal government in the last few years, so it makes it trickier to get into it. But you can design programs to do that, as you know, as a state health director in Utah forever. Mm. And we had 500 residency spots in the state mm-hmm. on top of a medical school of 100 slots. But most of the staying power we got for physicians in the state either came from the people being admitted to the medical school. 75 out of the 100 had to be Utahns, and then the people who were going through residency. Those physicians tend to stay and practice
where
they do the residency. So it's a tremendous program, and I think it's one that we have some real potential for.
Yeah. Rod, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it. I think Senator Davis needs to go on upstairs with the governor. Mr. Hogan, come on up. We're going to get you on the record here, even if it's just me. We have a lot of folks with lots of things to do today, and we apologize for it just being a busy day. So let's get you on the record, and we will have you back as needed when we have our full complement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Bill Hogan. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of Health and Social Services. And I just wanted to let you, Mr. Chair, know that workforce development is a priority of our department. It cuts across all of our divisions, whether we're looking at our Pioneer Homes, our public health nurses, our behavioral health programs, our juvenile justice facilities. In all of those places, we are concerned about workforce development, not only from a state employee perspective, but with all of our grantees and providers. Ms. Perdue talked briefly about our experience around behavioral health workforce development. I'm sort of in the middle of that when I was the director of the Division of Behavioral Health, and through a very strong collaboration with the university and with the Mental Health Trust Authority, we were able to make significant progress, I think, in with the curriculum within the university, as well as expanding entry-level human service options for individuals, Bachelor of Social Work options, master's degree, particularly in social work. And I'm happy to say that, again, through the efforts of the university and the trust, that there is now a PhD program in psychology that is jointly governed from both UAA and UAF. And clearly the expectation we set with the development of this program is that those individuals practice in the community, in community settings, when they come out of the program. And I think that's a significant step forward for our state. Also, with our efforts around Bring the Kids Home, as Ms. Perdue has indicated, we need a number of behavioral health paraprofessionals and professionals at all levels in all sorts of settings to not only bring kids back to Alaska from out-of-state residential psychiatric treatment centers, but to keep kids from going out. Mm-hmm. I was, before the committee meeting started, I was glancing through the Alaska Commission on Aging draft state aging plan, and lo and behold, I came to the page on workforce development. The aging folks, particularly with the numbers that we see, that the population of of seniors in Alaska are going to grow dramatically over the next 20 to 25 years. We need a workforce that can keep seniors in their own homes, in their own communities. And if not, we need a workforce to work in long-term care facilities. Again, others have already talked briefly about the bill to increase WAMI slots. We are very supportive of that bill. We appreciate your assistance with that, Mr. Chair. Many are now going to listen to the governor talk about the Health Strategies Council, Healthcare Strategies Council, that she is issuing an administrative order about. And that council will give us an opportunity to look at all of the plans that have focused on healthcare and what a healthcare system should look like in Alaska, including reports like the Physician Supply Task Force report. It will give us an action plan to have us do a much better job, I think, of determining how we want to focus on access, quality, and affordability. So I think this is, again, an exciting opportunity for us as we move forward, and workforce development is a key piece of that action plan, or will be a key piece of that action plan.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you could stay just a second, what do you think, or has it been a problem for the department to recruit and retain certain professional individuals? Do you have vacancies because of the kind of shortage that we see in various fields?
Mr. Chair, I would say simply that is true. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that with the help of the legislature, we were able to provide a 2-range increase for our nurses last year, and that resulted in our being able to recruit and retain nurses in the Pioneer Homes at the Alaska Psychiatric Institute and in our juvenile justice facilities. It made a big difference, as well as with our public health nursing staff. So, again, I think that little bit of an increase in salary has made a big difference. We are having trouble filling professional-level positions, whether those be in the behavioral health field, the child welfare field. And again, I think we recognize that there are shortages. My frustration, frankly, has been we have the problem now, and most of the strategies, although very good strategies, will probably only help us 5 or 10 years out. So mm-hmm. I think we need to do the best we can with what we have, but I'm actually confident and enthused about the direction we're taking as a state.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much for being with us. Appreciate your presentation. Apologize again for this being a bit abbreviated today, but we're going to adjourn early today to let folks go on up to the governor's press announcement. There's no further business to come before us today, so I'm going to go ahead at 2 p.m. and adjourn the committee hearing. Thank you all for being with us. We are adjourned.